This is Infidel One. Offending Coyote Down. Offending Coyote Down. Roger that.
Welcome to Trapping Radio. We're proud, organic, free-range, wild fur farmers of North America.
Let me tell you a little story about how I was raised. Every day work, every day pray. Got family, friends, yeah, everybody sins. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. Help folks in need, don't fall for greed. A jealous man is weak, so think before you speak. If you love them, let them know. If you hate, let it go. Fast can be fun, but sometimes you need slow. God is all good, the devil is so real. So listen up, y'all, cause this is how I feel. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my trip till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Now let's cover our sponsors. They do a lot to help support Trapping Radio. So I'm asking you guys out there and gals to help support our sponsors as they keep Trapping Radio on the air. First sponsors, Oki Cable and Trap Supply. Jeb's the owner of this. He's out of Oklahoma. Super guy. You'll not meet anybody nicer. It's somebody you're going to want to deal with. You can reach him at oktrapsupply.com. You can give Jeb a call at 918-429-4648. Not only does he do Trap Supply guys, he's a fur buyer, so if you're around the Oklahoma or surrounding states, give him a call with your fur. When you need stuff, give him a call and he'll get it out to you as soon as he can. Our second sponsor is F&T Fur Harvesters Trading Post. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Guys, if you're into trapping fur, hunting fur, chasing fur with dogs, you're not going to be able to think of hardly anything that you can't get from F&T. You can reach them at fntpost.com. You can also give them a call at 989-727-8727. Whatever you want, F&T's got. Wildlife Control Supplies, proven solutions for wildlife control, delivering value, expertise, and products to the wildlife individual. If you're in the ADC business, control business, even fur trapping, you need to look at these guys' website. Top-notch company. Have everything you would want, even the odd stuff that ADC guys are looking for. You can reach them at wildlifecontrolsupplies.com. You can give them a call at 877-684-7262. International number is 860-844-0101. If you're a wildlife control professional, you need to have Wildlife Control Supplies as one of your favorites on your computer or your phone, because when you come across something that you need specialized equipment, Alan will get it right out to you. Now let's go trapping.
See, I'm a flag flying, Bible toting son of a gun. Yeah, I'm hell on the heart, just a rebel on the run. Scared, don't know it, fear, don't feel it. The truth is the light, sometimes you gotta fight. Good beats bad, right beats wrong. I'm a barroom preacher and this is my song. I'm climbing for the top, representing for the country. I'm the people's champ, right out to deer camp. Shotgun toter, Republican voter. Hank Jr. supporter, let's protect our border. To hell with anyone who don't believe in the USA. Cause this is what I say. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't.
Well, hey there, folks, and welcome to Trapping Across America. My name is Chip Davis, and I will be sitting in with you tonight, guest hosting another episode of Trapping Radio. It is absolutely my pleasure to be here. Clint is away on another long line, and so we hope that, Clint, that you're having success where you're at. I know that you probably are, and hope you're having a blast down south, and I know you'll be enjoying yourself. So in his absence, he called and asked me if I would take care of the show tonight. And of course, this is one of my honors and privileges when I have a chance to hang out with you guys, the best people on the planet, the North American Trapper. And it is absolutely my honor to sit here, and I think we got a pretty interesting show lined up for you. We're going to be skipping all across the board here. I actually recorded a little interview, a small interview that's getting maybe a little bit off base of trapping, but it's still trapping related. We'll play a little later in the show. We're going to talk about some state hopping and some out-of-state trips, and we're going to talk a little bit about some instruction and maybe a little bit about some fur sales, some fur auctions, if we have time toward the end of the show. So I think it's going to be fun and interesting. Before we get started, I want to give a huge shout out to our sponsors. Many of you know I always play the old intro. That's what you just heard, that have most of the original sponsors for Trapping Radio. These guys are great, great individuals. All these companies, I know every single one of them personally, do business with all of them. Most of them carry our products here at Expand a Pan. And so we really know these are top-notch individuals. If they were not of that caliber, people, Clint would not have any of these guys as sponsors. It's really, really a tall order to even be considered for a sponsor of Trapping Radio. And when you hear these guys mentioned, they're making some very large monetary contributions to offset the server cost and the cost of bringing you Trapper Radio for free. Because if you noticed, it didn't cost you anything to log on to listen to the program, nor the last well over 400, probably 500 hours of Trapper Radio that you have access to. All the archives are there. Actually, if you don't know how to do that, you can scroll down on the Trapping Radio page, and at the bottom you'll see archives, and you can choose that by year and month, and you can go all the way back to the very, very early days of Trapping Radio. So it's pretty cool. We've covered just about most topics that are, we've probably covered all the common topics and a lot of kind of crazy topics sometimes on Trapping Radio, but it sure has been a lot of fun, and I'm honored to be a small part of that and just kind of fill in when Clint is gone. We have, since that original sponsor recording, we've added two more sponsors, and they are Dunlap Lures. This is Jeff Dunlap out of Michigan. Some really, really great stuff. I'm going to be on a trap line coming up real soon with Jeff. I'm looking forward to that. I've never actually trapped with Jeff before, and it's going to be a blast. I am so much looking forward to that. One of those times that you just kind of let your hair down and you know, be yourself and be amongst your buddies, and I'm looking forward to that in a big way. And our other sponsor is Alan over at Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Alan also sponsors the Man Strong podcast that Clint typically does on Thursday evenings, right here on the same channel. You can check those out. Not as much trapping, more about what it takes being a man in the modern society. A lot of strength training, various different things. If you've not checked out that podcast, you probably want to do so, because it's full of great information too. So we thank all of our sponsors, our new ones, and the guys that have been with us for a long, long time. And we certainly appreciate their support and keeping this podcast free for all of us, myself included, to enjoy and listen into on a weekly basis. So there you go with the sponsors, guys. It is right in the smack dab middle of trapping season. I know a lot of our brothers up north are kind of finishing up or getting frozen up, and we're not long before we're starting to kind of curtail, getting toward the end of the season. I know we'll have some springtime beaver stuff coming up, but it's January. It's late January, and down south, things are really getting rolling good right now. The cats seem like they're on the move. Coyotes are still acting like coyotes. It won't be very, very much longer before we'll start some rutting activity with the coyotes. I'm already seeing a little bit of that right now. I've had an awesome season so far. I'm tickled to death with where we are. The catch has been good. And looking forward to finishing this up. We all set goals, and not that numbers really matter, but they are a way that we can kind of keep up with where we're at and where our goals are, what we want to improve on and look at for the following years. So I would certainly encourage guys to kind of have an idea in your head of where you want to go. And I'm tickled to death that I'm closing in on mine. I'm within just a handful of catches to get to where I want to be. And so hopefully that'll happen here in the next week or so and kind of hit my goal and maybe even surpass it by a good little bit this year. So it's been a great year. Lots of animals, lots of catches. Been just really, really cool out there. So we just need this rain to get away for a little while. The rain has been a nightmare. So I guess we probably should just kind of learn to deal with it, because it seems like the last 3 or 4 years in a row we've had really, really wet trapping seasons, especially down south where I'm from. So we are about to embark. I'll actually start next week. We're going to start our annual job that I do with the Trapping Mafia. You've heard us do podcasts from this location several times in the past, and I'll have opportunity to be on a trap line with my buddies, and I am so much looking forward to that. And that's one of the things, this is actually going to be an out-of-state trip for me, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you guys about tonight on Trapping Radio is out-of-state trips, a little bit about the preparation for them, the things to think about. I know we've covered this topic in detail before on Trapping Radio, so this is just going to kind of be an abbreviated version, but I'm excited about the next couple of weeks. We'll be there for a full set, a full 14-day set, and I'll actually get started early there, and we'll touch on what we're going to do about that, maybe even introduce a brand new product that I from Expandapan have coming. And that's what I'll explain here, but it's right on top of us. And so we are all getting geared up to take our trip and to get started. I guess a lot of things, this is more broad stroke. This is not specific things that we start to do. We've had shows that we've covered that, but kind of this is more the broad stroke thing. This is what I enjoy so much about these out-of-state trips. One, when I'm home and I'm on my own various trap lines at home and I'm trapping coyotes, which is primarily what I do, excuse me, what I enjoy doing the most is the coyote work. And that's all well and good, and it happens, and we do that, and it's almost gets to be kind of a routine sometimes. That's kind of what I find myself in, but it's also always at home. I usually start my day off a little bit before daylight, and I try to get to the trap line early. I like to be there about the time the sky's kind of pinking up a good little bit, and you can see. I know there's some guys that start super, super early and run with spotlights and flashlights and all that. That's not me. I like to be there early, but I like to be there just after it gets daylight, where I don't have to kind of stumble and bumble around and trip and fall, and I've been there and done that before, but I like the daylight stuff. And then, I usually get my line run by 8 or 9 o'clock at the latest, depending on how many traps I got out. And then life happens. I got 2 or 3 different businesses I try to run, and the phone's ringing, and you got stuff to do at home, you got other tasks to do, and this time of the year, you've got year-end stuff from last year that has to be tidied up, and I need to be in the office, and this happens, and that happens, and that happens. This is what's different on these out-of-state trips, and this is one thing I think I really, really love about them. When I go out-of-state, I'm too far to worry about end-of-the-year stuff. I cannot run back to the office. I can't go back and tidy up this aspect of that business or build this for this other guy. I'm there. I'm stuck in this place out of state, but I'm stuck there doing what I absolutely have a passion and a love for, and that's trapping coyotes. So that's what I'm so much looking forward to. Is it work? Heck yeah, it's hard work. I mean, we'll be running, especially the first week, from daylight to dark, and we come in like zombies, but it is so much fun because I don't have all the other life stuff to deal with. That is just so refreshing to trap all day, every day, come in dead tired, eat a great, great meal cooked by my buddies. I think some of my buddies are probably the best cooks on the planet. And not so much myself, but these other guys are really, really good cooks. And come in, eat a great meal, get to bed early, get a great night's sleep, and get up and do it all over again in the morning. That's what's so much fun, and you don't have the stresses and the worries of home to deal with. So that's one of the huge things that I like so much about the out-of-state trips. Not trapped in just a ton of other out-of-state other states away from home, but I have trapped in, I don't know, 5 or 6 different states, and I always enjoy these trips, and they're always a lot of fun, and you can get so much focus, so much more focus than you can even get home on your own trap lines. And I think that you can even learn more because you're, I think that kind of goes hand in hand with the focus issue, and you know, things just kind of hone in, especially on the one I'm about to be on with my buddies, and there'll be, 6 different professional trappers on this particular trip, and I'll learn so much from them, because that's a great time. And even if it's just 1 or 2 of you guys that are on trips together, you can bounce ideas off of each other. You're at camp, you're doing your thing, and things are just, it just kind of puts things in a different perspective. You're not talking on the phone to somebody. It's, hey, well, I saw this today. What do you think about that? And, I've learned so much from being on these things. So I'm pumped up. It's about to happen. And we will actually start setting. A couple of us will go to this property. It's about, between a little over 3 hours, maybe not quite 4 from my house over there. So a little bit too far to run back and forth, but not so far that I can't run and do some preliminary work. And so that's what we're going to do. The trip will not actually start until a week from Monday or Tuesday or something of next week. But I'm going to go start setting traps next week. And so I just maybe saw some red flags raised right there. How in the world are you going to set coyote traps and you're not going to be there for a while? And so I mentioned I may bring to you a new product, and that is what I'm about to do right now. We have designed a product that's called a timeout. The timeout is basically a plate of steel that is secured by 2 nails that go into the ground. They're basically what I will do. I'm going to go set about 50% of my coyote line over a couple of days next toward the end of the week next week. And when I get those set, I'm going to go ahead and blend them in. I'm going to, dig my trap bed, set my trap. It's live. I'm going to blend it in. I'm going to do everything like I typically would normally always do. And when I stand up, you're not supposed to be able to tell where the trap is. If I've done my job and done a proper blending, then I'm going to take this new product from ExpandaPan that we're calling the timeout, and I'm going to place that over the trap. This will fully cover any trap from an 8.5-inch trap all the way down. It's got 2 tabs on them with holes in those tabs, and I'll take 2 20-penny nails, and I'll just stick those right through those holes, mash those in the ground, or even tap them in the ground with my hammer if the ground's hard. There is no way that trap can fire at all. You got a solid sheet of steel across that trap. From that point, I may reach behind me, and this will take literally about 2.5 seconds, grab another handful of duff and just kind of duff that timeout in so you can't even see it, and no lure, no bait, no dirt holes, no blinds, no anything. I'm just setting the trap. When I get back over there the following week and the trip actually starts, then I will simply nail down. I will pick that time up off my trap. It's already blended in. It's already natural. Everything is there. I'm not a scent control freak by any stretch of the imagination, but I gotta think that this is probably going to increase the catch a little bit, because it will have been sitting there with no lure, no attractant, anything, and any odor that was left there when I was setting the trap should be dissipated and gone by the following week when we get back and we set. And we'll be in business. Now, what happens if, because there is no lure, no bait, we're not attracting any animals to that set. What happens if an animal just walks across it and happens to step on the trap? The trap cannot fire because the pan cannot be depressed because the timeout is over the trap. So that's the new product. We'll be adding those to our website real soon. It's not on there right now, but if you need some or you're intrigued about this, you can call me. My number is on my website at expandapantraps.com, and we can talk about it. I can tell you when they'll be commercially available. It'll be coming up in the next few weeks, probably when I get done with this trip. We'll make several production runs of these timeouts, and they'll be available. They're already in the hands of some prototypes are already in the hands of some of my wholesalers now. So that's going to be a new product that we're going to be bringing. The original idea and the reason we first started even thinking about it was I had a whole episode where I had to be gone from a trap line in the past, and I had a pile of trap set. I had 120, 130 coyote footholds out, and I was not going to be there for 3 or 4 days, and I did not want incidental. I didn't want any catches, and that trap not be checked. Number one, I'd have been illegal. Number two, ethically, that's not cool to do to that animal, to let him stay there that long. So I came up with the idea, if I just had something to put over here, disables a trap completely. I cannot make a catch at all. Impossible to, you know, for an animal to get caught. Then I can have a timeout. That's where the name comes from. So that's what we did. So yeah, next week I'll be heading over, and I'll be starting to set, and all my sets will have timeouts. When I go back, I'll just bend over, pick those things up, put my lure and my bait on the set, and we are rocking and rolling at that point in time. So that's going to be a cool thing. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. I don't know which part I'm looking forward to it more, hanging out with my buddies, the groceries, which are always phenomenal on this trip. I'll typically come back a few pounds heavier than I left here, headed that way. The all-day trapping, which is what I absolutely love. When you get 6 professional trappers on a job like this and everybody's setting all day, every day, there's some pretty awesome catches at the end of the day when you got everybody comes back and you got all that fur hanging. It is something to see and something to behold. And so we are really, really looking forward to getting over there and getting to work. The other thing, and the second part of what I wanted to talk to you about, and this is also going to happen on this trip that we got coming up, is instruction and personal instruction. And I have taught personal instruction and given personal instruction numerous times. I have taken personal instruction and learned from other individuals on a trap line numerous times, and it's all about learning, and it's so fun to learn, literally. I'm about to get dry here. Bear with me. All right. The things I picked up from other guys along the way is a blend of all of them have made me into the trapper that I am today. I figured a few things out on my own, but most of this I picked up from somebody somewhere along the way. I may have, picked up a bedding trick from one guy, or a location idea, my approach to how I look at locations from something different, or trap sizes or choices are from somebody else. And this, I'm a blend of everything I've learned along the way. And the more people that you have to learn from, the more exposure that you can learn from, the better trapper you will become. I'm fully, fully convinced of that. I really think that the more people you can learn from, the more ideas that you're exposed to, the more efficient that you yourself will become on the trap line. So I have a student already, maybe possibly even 2 students. That's all I can handle on this trip. And I'll tell you how we typically do our students. I think that Carl still has, I possibly have one other opening. I think Carl still has one opening. And what we do on the students on these trips, even though there'll be several of us there, You will only be with, you know, with the guy, with either me or Carl, if you decide to do that. I'm just kind of using this hypothetically because I've only got, I may not have any spots left. And if I do, then I've only got one. But you come in on one, it's a 4-day deal. You'll come in one afternoon and hang out with us and spend the night, kind of get acclimated. And we'll spend all day long the next day setting traps, covering theory, covering, you know, sign, reading sign. That's one of the huge things that I push so much is I think that's integral to being a successful trapper, to become extremely proficient to reading sign and learning from what the animals are telling you. And setting, and we do that, and we cover many, many, many different topics, and a lot of different theory the first day. The second full day, we'll come back and, hang out. My students spend the night the second night. The second full day of trapping, the student pretty much, we run everything. We run all our lines. We already have a lot of traps out to look at, even on the first day. And we're always adding to the second day. I'll have my students actually set most of them and hands on and try to develop some muscle memory and certain things and try to positively critique and help guys with efficiency of setting and bedding and so many different things. But it's pretty much hands on all day the second day. And then which actually be the third day, you come in one day, we set the for two solid days. And then the last day, we get up and we run and run the trap line, come back and have a big breakfast, and they're on their way. So that's typically how those go. We do, like I said, I know Carl's got an opening. I may have one. If you're interested in that, you'll be riding and trapping with either me or Carl if you wanted to do that. But there'll be several other guys there, and you'll be around those in the evenings and at mealtime only. You will not be riding or taking instruction from the other guys, but they will be there. And as questions arise that evening, we'll always have opportunity to kind of bounce ideas and questions off of everybody there. And so the learning opportunity here is absolutely huge. So if you're free anytime and want to do that for the first couple of weeks in February, which will be here right on top of us, then give us a shout. Look Carl up at ACB Wildlife in Memphis or myself at Expandapan, and give us a ring and we'll see if we can't squeeze you in. Like I said, it's kind of late notice, but we'll see. We'll see what can happen there. Getting away a little bit from instruction and pure instruction, but kind of want to just kind of summarize how I think a lot of people learn and learn in trapping. And I see a lot of new guys coming into trapping nowadays, a whole lot of new guys. Seems like most of these people are gravitating to trapping away from hunting, especially hunting and fishing and outdoors in general. But a lot of hunters that have never trapped before, it seems like, and maybe this is due to the big push that we've all been giving on predation management and dealing with predators for the specific reason of increasing, usually it's deer and turkey populations, sometimes small game as well, but cleaning up these predators so that other wildlife can flourish. And that's been a big message that's being preached as of late. And I think where you have a lot of guys from the hunting background that are kind of changing over. And I get this question a lot. So kind of what are my levels? How do I learn? How do I even get started? And there's a myriad of answers to that. Most all of them are correct. One, get out there and get started. You know, you can't learn from the couch. We do have a lot of free information that's out there. Things just like trapping radio. We cover some really in detail things, but it doesn't cost anything. You've got YouTube nowadays. There's a lot of good information on YouTube. There's also a lot of misinformation on YouTube. Just be careful and use caution when you, you can pretty much tell if guys know what they're talking about or not. You can also tell when guys are shooting you a line too. And, And so you just want to really use caution and make sure this guy's proficient at what he does if you're going to learn from him. But those are out there, and there's a lot of really good content on YouTube. You can learn that way. The next thing, I'm kind of starting with the easiest and kind of giving you some broad stroke steps and things to consider. Next would be conventions. Most of these conventions have what we call demos, or short for demonstrations, and they'll be on various different topics. And usually I will, at each convention, there'll be multiple demos there. They'll take different topics and they'll cover those topics at length. It may have a demo on beaver trapping, another one on bobcats, another one on raccoons, maybe one on skinning, maybe one on whatever. It's just a thousand different topics that demos have been done on. And it's a really good way to learn. A lot of the conventions are very economical, and a lot of them are free to go to. These will typically be your state conventions and that sort of thing, national conventions. And then some of them have actually an admission charge to get in, and some of them even charge for the demos. But usually, if you look at it as far as value per lesson learned, you're still pennies on the dollar than making all those mistakes on your own for years. And like I said earlier, you will become a smorgasbord of everything you've learned. You may pick up one little small thing from me and something from Clint, something from Carl or Tim or Jeff or anybody. And you'll have a blend of those that fits your style and fits what you do and fits what you enjoy to do. And you'll kind of develop your own style like that. And so that's kind of where that comes from. The next level, I think, of learning and learning how to trap, and like I said, I get this question so much, I thought I'd touch on it, is various different degrees of personal instruction. I guess before that would be the bought DVDs. I know Clint has multiple DVDs. He's actually, for those new guys that may not be aware of this, on Clint's website, which is Predator Control Group, and under his store, you will have, actually, there'll be a link to it there. I think it's a standalone website he's called howtotrapit.com. howtotrapit.com. And on that, he's got every single DVD that he's ever produced, all available for one money. This is pennies on the dollar versus if you had to buy all the DVDs, and you don't even have to keep up with the DVDs. It's online, on demand. Once you buy that whole entire set, then you can watch any and all of those as much as you want. So that would probably be the next level, is bought information like the DVDs. It's very inexpensive. When you look at, you're taking 30 years of a man's life and his mistakes and his mess ups, and you're learning from those right there. I mean, it is no telling the hundreds of thousands of dollars in experience, time spent, gas, miles traveled, traps bought, failed sets that all go together that you're learning from. So for the price of one small DVD or even a group or a set of a downloadable series like Clint has on howtotrapit.com, you shorten that learning curve up for you exponentially. And now, if you look at that comparison, there is pennies on the dollar as far as the value. The next level up, excuse me, guys, I'm getting choked. Hold on. Okay. The next level up, I think, would be personal instruction, and that can come in a variety of ways too. I've taken personal instruction where I called up some guys that I knew were trapping, that was within drive time, I said, hey, what would be the chances of me just coming and riding along? Be glad to pay for your time and your instruction. And sometimes I have, and sometimes they've said, no, just come along. I'll be glad to help you. I will mention real quick, that just 30 years ago, that was not available. 30, 35 years ago, when I started trapping in the mid-80s, there was nobody that would let you know. They might, maybe, if you knew somebody, they may show you how to set the trap, but they wouldn't tell you where to put it or how to present it or what lure or what bait or anything common sense, because the way we just lived in a different day and age back then. Nowadays, there's a lot of guys that are really willing to help. So a lot of guys that will allow you to ride on their line for a day. That's personal instruction. Regardless if you go over a four-day event like I just explained to you earlier, like we offer. But that's some great time. Go with a proficient trapper that knows what he's doing, that catches fur, and learn from him. That's a great way to go about learning. And then finally, I guess, and there'd be another step or two in between there as far as personal instruction. But what I mean by personal instruction is you're learning from somebody. It's you and them, or a small group of you and them, kind of like we do at our Trappers College, where we go with groups of people with a professional trapper and we teach. That's also would classify as personal instruction, because, you know, it's you got an instructor that's on the line that's showing you things. There's several of these Trappers Colleges around schools. I understand that Jeff and Clint are getting geared up to do a school coming up maybe next year. Something to kind of look for. That'll be a really, really super one to be in attendance in. You'll hear more about that on Trapping Radio as time comes, if this comes to development. But so those are definitely kind of a form of personal instruction, and kind of the ultimate of all of that is kind of what we do and what I'm looking forward to doing with my students in the about 2 weeks from now, is when I do one of these, you get everything I know, and it's condensed and it's tornado. It is, we're throwing everything at you left, right. I'm trying to teach you every single thing I can possibly teach you in about 30, well, more than that, probably 40 hours on the trap line that's condensed into 4 days. And I'm trying to, if you ask my former students, who most all of them have become personal friends of mine for a long time. Some of them I know will be listening to this show right now, and that don't miss an episode of Trapping Radio either. And we become really good, close personal friends. But I think every student I've ever had would tell you it's kind of like drinking from a fire hydrant right off the bat, because there's so much information. If you're going to do one of these things, I would encourage you to think about your questions that you wanted answered prior to getting there. Have those written down in a notebook. Take that notebook with you, and as you run across things, don't leave there with a question that you're wondering about that you don't ask, because there's so many things that will be covered in not just mine, but anybody's personal instruction that you don't want to miss out. You really want to take good, good notes before you leave home, and you want to make sure that you have anything that you're wondering about or questions answered before you leave. Not every single time do I always know on mine. I don't know the answers to every single question, but I know enough people that I can pretty much find an answer of some sort. Regardless if it's right or if it's wrong, we can find you an answer somehow or another. But typically, your trappers that will be well connected and proficient at what they do, if they don't have the right answer, they'll have enough people that they can bounce ideas off of that we can, that you'll have a pretty good idea of how to handle that particular situation. So that's kind of the different levels and a little bit about what you could expect if you were looking to take some instructions from somebody. Some of these things depend on where you go, and some of these instructions are available year-round. Others are just available during trapping season. If you're going to think about doing one of these, regardless of with whom you do it with, I would highly encourage you to do it at a time you guys could be actively setting traps or whatever mimics your trap line, whatever you're trying to learn. If you're trying to learn ADC stuff in trapping moles and in someone's yard or voles or getting raccoons or squirrels out of somebody's attic, then by all means do that in the summertime when that's going on. If you're trying to learn how to catch bobcats or coyotes or beaver or whatever, do it during trapping season when that's going on. That's going to be the most valuable information to take your instruction at the time that you'll actually be trapping. I would highly encourage you to do that. Well, we're going to segue real quickly here, and I have something I want to bring to you. It's not as much about trapping, but it is something that I'm really, really proud of. I've got an employee that helps me with Expand-A-Pan. He's here every day, and he is a hard, hard worker, and he works his tail off. And just before he got off this evening, off of work, I called him in here because he's got something really, really special that he's been working on for almost his entire life. And I want to bring you a short little interview that I recorded. And when we get done with the interview, then we're going to come right back. And we've got one more topic I think we're going to have enough time to cover. And something about fur auctions and fur sales. Those are all happening around the country right now. So stay tuned after the interview, and we'll come back and we'll talk about some fur sales real quick. Okay, guys, as promised, I want to go into an interview with an individual that helps me with Expand-A-Pan in the shop. And I'm sitting here, and we're at the end of a work week, and not long before Trapper Radio is going to air, and I'm sitting here with Mr. Landon Hintz. Landon, kind of introduce yourself, tell folks where you're from, that sort of thing.
Yes, sir. I moved here down Mississippi probably 10 years ago. We've been here, same spot ever since, down in Grenada. I moved from up around South Haven area, live with my grandfather, and we finally moved down here. I don't do a whole lot, but school and helping here and this, gotcha. That, and the other.
And you're a senior in high school, right?
Yes, sir.
You graduate here in just 2 or 3 months, right, in May?
Yes, sir.
Good deal. Good deal. So, Landon, I first met you. I was inquiring with you went through the welding program, the Metalworks program at our local high school, right?
Yes, sir. 3 years.
Yep. And I don't know that you even know this, but your instructor during the course, was it a 2-year program?
I went 3 years.
3 years, okay. He spoke really highly of you, and we interviewed, and we got together, and your fingerprints are on most all the Expand-A-Pans that go out. And that's where the people that are listening to this podcast are going to know you from, is from Expand-A-Pan, and they won't ever know your name or anything probably until this podcast. But so what's your take, since you've been here, what, almost a year, I guess, and so what's your take on the work of the Expand-A-Pan? Is that what you thought it was, or was it a little different? Tell me a little bit about that, because this is a part that a lot of guys don't realize or don't pick up on.
I mean, it's not hard by any stretch, but it gets tiring.
Yeah.
Rolling with them every day, all day, but
yeah,
it's not bad at all.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, what I really wanted to interview you about tonight was you got something big, huge going on in your life right now that's going to happen, what, this coming week?
This next Monday.
Next Monday. So tell folks a little bit about what you got going on, and I'll have some questions for you about all that.
Here Monday, I will be going for my Eagle Scout Board Review, which is my last interview until Eagle. And basically, I've been in the scouting program since I could first join, and that was here about 12 years ago.
Wow. Wow. And how old are you now?
18.
18. Okay. All right. So that's been a long journey, hasn't it?
Long, hard road, for sure.
What are the highlights that you remember from your scouting career, and as you're closing in on this Eagle?
Well, there's been a lot of fun campouts and summer camps and fun places we go and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Anything that really, really sticks out to you as far as the maybe just one or two that you remember the highlights? Or?
Probably these last two are pretty good. Just coming down to the end of it, you know, that's the last few you're going on.
Yep. Well, I actually, you brought me a letter to write for you that I filled out today, and I don't think you've read that yet, but in that letter, it had, I guess they call it the Scout's Oath and the Scout Law, and, and these, I've known a handful of people that have made Eagle Scout, and this is a really, really good deal, and I, along with about 40,000 other people that are listening here tonight, if y'all just seen his eyes when I said 40,000 people listening, they got really big. But we'd all like to congratulate you because I know it's a lot of hard work. So kind of summarize the scouting program. A lot of guys, know what it is or whatever. I was in Boy Scouts just for a year or two, but I don't even know if I made very many merit badges at all. That's been when I was little. I don't think I was ever in Boy Scouts. I was in Cub Scouts. So that's been many, many moons ago. So kind of summarize the program real quick. And we're not going to take too long with this, but we are interested to know, kind of sum the whole scouting program up in a nutshell in your own words.
Really getting your merit badges and stuff like that. It's not so much just getting a badge, but it teaches you a lot, like your first aid, and then mostly scouting. It helps you work with others and learn stuff you need to know in life. Mm-hmm. Get you a long way.
Cool. Awesome. I know there's a lot of community service stuff. That's what you've been working on, some major projects, even since you've been working for me.
Yes, sir.
So what kind of stuff do y'all do on those?
I mean, we used to do trash pickup out at the lake after, the big events that they have out there. And we would do service projects for the lake, building benches, cleaning up trails, stuff like that. And we did some food drive stuff in town. And then in my Eagle Scout project, I built some flower beds for the All Saints House.
Mm-hmm. And that's a convalescent facility here. For a lot of people don't realize exactly what that is.
It's basically an apartment building for older people where they get the help that they need.
That's right. Yep. And you just finished those just a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yes, sir. About 2 weeks ago.
Okay, cool. Did you plant those? I know you built them. Did you plant stuff in there too?
I haven't yet, but I'll probably go back in spring and help plant.
Okay, awesome. Good deal. If you had to do it all over again, I know it's been a lot of work for a lot of years. If you had to do it all over again, would you do it all over?
I probably would. It's pretty fun for the most part. It taught me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you got to keep with it.
Yeah. Well, good deal. So, well, that's awesome. Well, we all want to congratulate you. That's a big milestone and a big step. And now we just got to get you in the trapping woods and get you started there.
Never been trapping, but it sounds like something I would be into.
That's right. And maybe I've let you down there. We work for a trapping company and inside the trapping industry, and you've been here almost a year. We hadn't taught you how to set a trap. Yeah, actually, you have set lots of traps.
Lots of them.
But you hadn't set any in the woods yet. You set them on that workbench out there. So
yes.
At any rate, well, good deal. All right, well, we just wanted to, I just thought that earning Eagle Scout was something of absolute merit, and we wanted to recognize you and do a little short interview with that and say congratulations, and I know that you're going places in life. You're a good kid. You got a good head on your shoulders. You're a good thinker, and hopefully you've learned something here a little bit, and, working in this shop, and I think the world of you, and I think that a whole lot of folks out here from the trapping world that are listening to this podcast would like to say congratulations to you, and we're all pulling for you Monday night. I know you'll finish this thing up with flying colors.
Thank you a lot.
Okie doke. All right, guys, we're going to swap over, and we got one more topic, and when we finish this up, we'll wrap up the show. Okay, guys, I am so proud of Landon. Landon's a great, great employee. A lot of times I think about him more like We're no relation. I actually didn't. I've never known Landon before. I interviewed him for the job at Expanded Pan, but I look at him just like he's my own son, really. That's how close we've become over the last year or so. He's been working for me. I know he's worked extremely hard for most of his life on his Eagle Scout, and he has achieved it. There's something to be said, guys, for setting goals, sticking to them, and seeing them to fruition, especially when they take years to develop. And it's something that nobody can ever take from him. And if you have a child that's interested, I understand that the Boy Scouts program has a little different than it was from a lot of us grew up in. But anything along those lines, and even the Scouts still are certainly the ones what we grew up in are a worthwhile organization. It's something that teaches these youngsters there's values in goal setting and values in seeing the result of hard work is literally it, which does go hand in hand with trapping. So we're going to segue over into the last topic of the evening, and fur auction time is upon us. This is wrapping up trapping season. We're late July for a lot of people around the country. There's a really, really good resource. If you are on social media, specifically Facebook, the largest trapping forum on Facebook is a forum called Trapping Talk. Jeff Dunlap, who's also a sponsor of Trapping Radio, he developed, and this is his platform. It's called Trapping Talk. You do have to ask to be a member and get accepted and play by the rules when you're there. But he's got a really good resource. He's got a thread going. And if you log on to Facebook and then on to Trapping Talk, you can find this. And it's a listing of most of, if not all, the fur auctions around the country. It's listed state by state with the date, the time, and the place that those auctions are occurring. For instance, I am very active. I'm actually the president of the Mississippi Trappers Association, and we have a fur auction coming up on February the 29th. It's always, every single year for the last 30, we've held our trapping fur auction, fur sale, we call it a lot of times, on the last Saturday in February. This is a long-standing tradition that we've always done in Mississippi. It's easy to keep up with. If you can remember that, we always, every year, have our same place, a place called Atala County Coliseum in Kosciuszko, Mississippi. You do have to be a member of our association to sell fur at our sale. But what this is our association creates and provides a market for trapper's fur, and that's one of the member services that the association does. Something I'm really proud of is a, we're not in a great fur market right now. Things maybe are starting to turn around a little bit. I'm hearing a few articles or show a lot of promise. Certain different animals' fur are showing some promise of maybe we're going to see some turnaround here soon. Others are still a little bit lackluster in price, but the camaraderie, you're around all these other trappers, you're seeing the fur. I've been to our fur sale in years past that there was not room in the whole entire Coliseum to put another article of fur. And I've seen times that it's been a little lackluster in attendance. And with the recent years we've had over the last 3 or 4 years, we've not had quite the volume that we have in the past. The way most of these associations will work their fur auctions is, typically, you'll need to be a member of that association. You can bring your fur in. You'll check in, and you'll be assigned. Your fur will be assigned a lot number. It'll go in line. It'll go across the auction block, and there'll be an auctioneer that's auctioning your fur off to a list of qualified buyers in the room. When I say qualified buyers, many, many, many states require a fur dealer's license to buy fur and process that to the next levels. And so that typically those fur buyers will be seated in one area and they will be bidding on your fur if you're not familiar with how a fur sale works. I firmly believe that the auction method of selling anything is the only way to achieve true price discovery. Maybe I say that because I'm also a licensed auctioneer, and I'll be calling a first sale here, and I'm available to call first sales anywhere. But I love to auctioneer. I'm certified in different states, and I really enjoy doing that. And I'll kind of give a used car commercial, I guess, for myself out real here. But if anybody needs an auctioneer for anything, regardless of what it is, if it's a wildlife banquet like Ducks Unlimited or NWTF, or a fur auction, which is my favorite to do, or FBU auction or anything along those lines, I do have a shingle hanging out there, and I'm available. Contact me. I'd love to call your sale. But I do really like the auction method of selling, this true price discovery. Not every single item that's in the first sale is going to be top lot. It's just not. There's different quality. There are different there's different criteria that the buyers look at, and there'll be a top lot of each thing, but not every single piece of fur will be top lot. That's the auction method of selling. It's not necessarily competitive as much as it is just true price discovery. You have a group of buyers. Typically, the more buyers you have, the more competition it is for your products and fur in this case. And so that's what we've got. We're really excited about our first sale in Mississippi coming up on the 29th of February. And we've actually even added a couple of different ideas. I know that there are a lot of guys that are active in their state associations. And some of these fur sales, because in the past years, the prices have left something to be desired. Prices are low. Have been low. So here's an idea that our state association, this came from our vice president, Mr. Justin Rogers, that had a great idea. And so we're adding another feature of our fur auction this year, and we're going to add a section of trapping equipment. So if a guy is a member of the Mississippi Trappers Association, he comes to our first sale and he's got some traps that he doesn't use. Say he maybe upgraded to some more modern versions, or he's got a bundle of snares that he built last year and just doesn't use those anymore, or some lure bait, or any trapping tools or equipment or anything along those lines, then we're going to have opportunity for him to bring those, and we're going to auction those off just like we auction the fur off. There'll be a small commission. They'll be withheld from the purchase price of that, and that'll go to the association to continue to defend trapping in that particular state. And so this is just kind of a little twist, just like, you know, you bring your fur. So just a little tip to some of the association guys that are members of the association, just an idea, something you may want to think about, maybe not, but we're excited about it. This particular year, I know that we have a donation to our association. We've got a couple of brand new products that are out there. One in particular is, and this is not an endorsement or toward anybody, but I just want to let you know of something that we're excited about. Duke Trap Company happens to be located in our state. Their home office is in Mississippi, and they have a new trap about to hit the market at the end of March, and they're calling that trap the Duke 650. This is a 6.5-inch trap, brand new. I'm not aware of anything on the market that's remotely built like this. This is a very, very unique brand spanking new trap. And they have donated the very first dozen of these new Duke 650s to our fur auction and to the segment of our fur auction where we're going to be selling trapping equipment. So that'll be auctioned off. And even if you're not in Mississippi and you wanted to bid on the very, very first dozen of the new Duke 650s, then you can also contact me and we can take some absentee bids prior to our sale. So if that interests anybody, any collectors out there, then that's an option that's certainly available to you too. And if you're just a guy that's active in your state association and you're looking for to add a few dollars to the bottom line of your first sale, then maybe consider stretching that out to and offering a section. What we're going to do is whomever wants to participate that, we're going to start the sale off with that trapping supply auction. And as soon as that gets done, we'll swap over to 100% fur and we'll be on fur auctions from there to the end of the day. So we're super excited about that. Another thing that we did a few years ago that's really been a great thing is we added a raffle. We had a gun that we bought usually. We've done this, I think this will be the third year that we've done. We've raffled that off with a deck of cards, and we sold those cards, tore them in half, and raffled that gun off. The last 2 years, the revenue from that raffle, usually we'd pick a gun that's commonly used on the trap line because we got a room full of trappers, and that's what we're about. That's what we love. That's what we want to do. And the proceeds from that gun raffle have paid our rent on the Coliseum, the facility that we use for our first sale. It's paid it in full. So that's another angle that we had never utilized before, but just throwing some ideas out there for some different associations that really helped us in Mississippi, and it maybe could be something you could think about that maybe you would be interested in doing. And so just kind of some ideas out there. So with that, guys, I guess we're going to start wrapping the show up here. Just to kind of finish the whole first sale thing up. It's not just the money. That's not why any of us really trap anymore. At the sales, I do think that it's true price discovery. I definitely know that there's typically on these things, you'll have vendors there with, you know, if you're low on lure bait or equipment or tools or pliers or baskets, usually there's someone there that has all these supplies there live and in person. You can pick them up right there and replenish your stock. But most importantly, there'll be a room full of trappers there, and it's another place that you can gain knowledge and just hang out with guys that are just like us, that love to trap, that have knowledge that we can learn from, and that we can just interact and have fellowship with, because ultimately that's just really, really cool when we get to hang out with trappers. So a lot of us don't have the opportunity to do that on a daily basis, and we have a chance to go to a venue where all these guys are there. It's a really cool thing, and I would highly encourage you to check that out and to utilize it. So guys, with that, I have so much enjoyed hanging out with you. It has been absolutely a pleasure and my truest honor to lead you guys in Trapper Radio tonight. And every single time I get a chance to be on the air with you, it's just I'm just so fortunate that, and I'd like to thank Clint for the opportunity. I really enjoy hanging out with you guys because you are the greatest people in North America, the North American Trapper, and I just absolutely am privileged to have a chance to do that and to bring you these shows from time to time in Clint's absence. As far as I know, Clint will be back with you. I think he's back off of his adventure by next week, and he will be back with you on Trapping Radio next week. And until the next time I get a chance to hang out with you, this will be Chip signing out for Trapping Radio.
Cooking up in the kitchen, a few old dogs laying round the yard, Christmas 4th of July, Lord, never Thanksgiving, jug of wine and a deck of cards. That's how we like living in the living that we've been given, Lord, it's been worth living. teenage lies. Fresh tracks made from a run to the beer store. Laughing at the same old jokes and smoking up the night. Yeah, that's how we like living in the living that we've been given. Lord, it's been worth living. Yeah, living the kind of living most living never find. Love lives in the simple moments of a simple life. Spent my first 18 between Spring Hill and Cypress Bottom. And I thank the good Lord the good life didn't get away from me, no. Cause I've chased squirrels with old bells shaking, bow at cubs crossing. And I've caught a white perch with Riley Brandon over there on Dolce, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's how we like living and the living that we've been given. Lord, it's been worth living. That's how we like a living and a living we've been given. Lord, it's been worth.